Alan is here. He is the former director of the Israeli security agency known as Shin Bet. He also served as a commander of the Israeli Navy. Today he is focused on how to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. He urges Israel to take constructive unilateral steps to achieve a two-state solution. But Israel is facing more immediate problems today. Growing tensions over the nuclear program in Iran have led to speculation that a strike could be soon. Meanwhile, deteriorating security in neighboring Egypt and Syria threaten the borders. I am pleased to have him here back at this table. Welcome.
Thank you very
much.
Good
to see you. Let's just, for people who might not know, everybody's sort of familiar with Mossad. And so what is Shin Bet?
I think that Shin Bet is parallel to the FBI and the Secret Service.
Right.
Internal security.
You and others seem to be, that have spoken, who've left official positions, are speaking out with more passion and more candor than you ever have before. Is it because what?
I think that most of us believe that we are on the wrong way, that we are heading nowhere. And today, much more than yesterday, agreement between us and Palestinians became much more urgent, much more important, and much less possible.
Because
this is the way we understand the new reality in the Middle East. This is the way we understand the whole security equation, if you call it. Let's try to understand the Middle East of today. It is a kind of a saturated area. You mentioned it before. We have Egypt, we have Iran, we have instability, we have Syria, we have problems with Turkey. The world is in a huge economic crisis. So it is becoming much more difficult. And finally, in order to try to not only to understand, but to create some viable strategy, we have to prioritize. We have to try to understand where should we start with. And if you ask me, and this is my personal view based on my security background, if you'll ask me what is a major threat to Israel, I'll tell you that the threat of losing our identity as a Jewish democratic state. Iran, it is a huge threat, but it comes later. Now, everything is combined. In order to try to understand and to create a viable strategy, we have to jump ahead at least. Well, according to Judaism, you know, history goes forward in 40 years, but we have to create a kind of a reality, a realistic reality. We are living in the Middle East, and then to go backward. Now, if you ask me, what is the reality? What should be the future of the Middle East 10 years from now? I'll tell you, it should be based, the whole concept of stability, security, statehood, should be based on several parameters. First of all, we have to accept that it is very, very important to create a coalition, a Sunni coalition, that will be led by Turkey. Why Turkey? Because we have to accept the idea that if ever we shall see democracy in the Middle East, it will not be like the Israeli democracy or like the American democracy or like Western liberal democracy. It will be something, hopefully something like Turkey, which is a democracy, which is stable, which can prove economic success.
Which is secular?
Yes, and we have to understand that democracy in the Middle East will have a very strong Muslim flavor. Now, if Turkey, that became a regional power, especially today because events in Syria, because events in Egypt, so this coalition should be led by Turkey. Second, the role or the acceptance of Israel as a legitimate player will be based on the idea that the Arab League decision will prevail, meaning that we shall accept Israel along the lines of 67 with exchange of territories. And I believe that although the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is not the major conflict, the major conflict in the Middle East is the Sunni-Shia conflict. In order to create this coalition, we have to understand that the showing progress on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict became a condition, a precondition. So these are more or less the parameters. I think that if we shall be able to create this coalition that will be supported with the international community led by America, we will be able to face Iran. We will be able to respond to the Iranian threat or to the nuclear capability that Iran is trying to require. And this is why it is so important for us to show what can be done by Israelis today in order to reach this point 10 years from now.
What can be done by Israelis today to reach that point?
We have to accept the idea. If you would ask me 2 years ago, I wouldn't accept it, but there is no partner. There is no partner, although it is very important. No Palestinian partner, not because Abu Mazen don't want. In the Middle East of today, leaders became weaker and streets became stronger. Abu Mazen does not have the support of pragmatic leaders like Mubarak. So Abu Mazen cannot deliver what he thought he could 2 years ago. And Bibi Netanyahu will not offer what Ehud Olmert.
He does have the support of people like Fayyad.
Fayyad is a very, very important figure, but he does not have any political power. And we have to understand in the new Middle East that was created during the last 2 years, the street sometimes lead. Leaders became followers. Now, since he lost this support, we have to understand that the concept or the paradigm that led the process or the Middle East during the last 20 years that was based on the idea that direct negotiations will bring us to agreed solution is over. It does not exist. So this is why we are presenting a new paradigm.
You believe that Israel should recognize Jerusalem not as the capital of the Palestinian
I'm state? I'm not here to tell you where will be the capital of Palestine.
But then you're avoiding
I'm not avoiding. If you will ask me, the parameter will be based on what we are saying during the last 10 years, Jewish neighborhoods. Under Israeli sovereignty, this will be the capital of Israel.
Right.
Arab neighborhoods under Palestinian sovereignty. I imagine that they will declare that the Arab neighborhoods are the Palestinian capital. And this is for them to decide. Second, we have to independently to stop building any settlements beyond the security fence, including in the Arab neighborhoods of Jerusalem.
Would you leave the security fence where it is? Within?
Until they will come to negotiate, yes. The IDF will stay. Security fence will stay. If and when they will come to negotiate, we shall negotiate how to swap land, what to give, what to keep. Until then, we shall go on building in the major settlements west of the fence, but we shall not built on the east side of the fence. Three, we shall have to pass the law of bringing back settlers who wish to return. We have to understand, according to our polls, 20-30% of the settlers, once we build the fence, understand that it will not be in the future the state of Israel. It will be Palestine. We send them. If you ask me, they are our pioneers. They achieved the victory for us. Victory meaning recognition of the Arab world. In the existence of Israel, the way they did in 2002 in the Arab decision. Four, we have to prepare a plan since the future of the rest of the settlers will be discussed with the Palestinians. We have to show to the Israelis that we are not going to repeat the same mistakes, that when we shall bring them back, we know how to do it with housing, with labor, with a national plan. And six, and last, we have to convince the Israelis that finally, if ever we shall have an agreement with the Palestinians, it will be the result of the decision of the Israeli people, national referendum. We should not repeat the mistakes of taking this most difficult and painful decision the way we did in the past.
The issue for every Israeli leader that mm-hmm. I've ever talked to, you know, mm-hmm. is security for Israel.
We are not endangering, and you know, IDF will stay. So we
Israeli
are not
Israeli Defense Forces.
Yeah, right. Israeli Defense Forces will stay along the Jordan River. If along the Jordan River until we shall have an agreement. Not the way we are not going to repeat, we are not going to create vacuum until we shall have an agreed border, agreed solution.
Long do you think it'll take to do that?
Look, I believe, if you ask me, I believe that if we shall take this this strategy, first of all, within few months, Palestinians will come to negotiate. If they will, we shall negotiate. And if they will not negotiate, we are losing nothing. We are losing nothing because since the IDF will stay, I believe that within 10, 20, or 40 years, the international community will recognize the fence as the eastern border of Israel. And then, as I told you before, since our major threat is one state, this threat is eliminated.
Some people even would suggest that if there's no two-state solution and there's continued occupation, it becomes a kind of, some argue, apartheid.
Totally right. I think that we are heading directly into this destiny. And as I mentioned before, you know, biggest threat to Israel is a threat to our identity as a Jewish democracy. When my parents came during the 30s, the dream was to create a kind. They did not use this language. But if you read our Declaration of Independence, this is what we mean. We are a democracy that belongs to the Jewish people. But we are a democracy. In order to be a democracy, our eastern border should be a border of our identity, not of our security. Security should be the result. We have to create a border in which we will be majority. Otherwise, we do not have the right, the moral right. By the way, we do not have the political power to dictate the values, the calendar, the symbols, and the stories that we tell our children.
Where do you think the head, in the mind of the Prime Minister is, Prime Minister Netanyahu, where is his internal sense of what you want to see happen?
Well, I have no idea. You know, usually I used to say that the psychology department of my family belongs to my wife, so I'm not sure. But if you ask me deep down, if you ask me, I believe that finally, he can accept these views. I think that the major parameters, if I understand him again, that Israel is secure and a Jewish democracy, he accepts.
So if you could get him to accept the ideas of security and democracy.
If he understands that the parameters, Israel will be safe, secure, will keep its identity as a Jewish democracy. If he understands that the parameters that Palestinian refugees shall return only to the state of Palestine, I believe that these are his parameters. But, you know, finally, it's up to him.
May I turn to the question of Iran?
Yes.
What should Israel do?
Iran is a huge threat. We cannot live with Iran having a nuclear military power. We should not accept it. The question is, how much time do we have? And what should we do? Now, for me, how much time do we have is with a correlation to what should we do? Because if we are going to act unilaterally without any American or international support, without creating the atmosphere in the Middle East, it is not only that we shall have to face the reaction. Probably it's too late. All what we can achieve with our military power probably is to delay the program for, I don't know, 12, 18 or 6 months. But if the assumption is that we are a part of a coalition that based on a kind of a Sunni coalition and America...
What do you mean by Sunni coalition?
Sunni coalition, that means that Turkey with Egypt, with Jordan, with Saudi Arabia, understand that the major conflict is with Shia, led by Iran, and they create this coalition, as I mentioned before, in order to create this coalition that will face Iran, the Palestinian-Israeli coalition. Okay, so this is the coalition.
Has there been an event or a person that changed your mind, that brought you to where you are today?
Oh, I met a group of Palestinians, some of them friends, in London in 2002. And it was after the beginning of the Intifada. Hundreds of people were dying on the both sides of, on the two sides of the no border. And we met trying to see whether we can do something. And you know, I was preparing myself a cup of coffee, and a Palestinian friend approached me. He's a psychiatrist, works in Gaza with children that suffered post-trauma because of the violence in Gaza at that time. And he tells me, Ami, finally, we Palestinians, finally we won. We achieved victory. I said, come on, are you crazy? Hundreds of Palestinians are dying. You are losing your dream of independence. What is the meaning of victory? And he tells me, Ami, you know, you don't get it. You don't understand that all what we want is to see you suffer. This is all what we want. You know, after 50 or 60 years, we came to understand that we are not... We will not be the only one who suffers in the Middle East. And as long as we shall suffer, you will suffer. And we reached a balance of power. Your F-16 versus our suicide bomber. At that point, I understood that we are losing the idea of victory. That we are killing each other. And we tend to forget, you know, okay, yes, when we suffer... we are looking for revenge. But revenge will not bring us to see Israel secure and a Jewish democracy. If you ask me, this Palestinian friend, with what he told me, which was horrible, horrible, created me to believe that finally, you know, Clausewitz said it years ago, you know, finally, it is not important how many of our enemies we kill or how many times we conquer a city. Finally, victory is measured in the better reality that we create. And sometimes, you know, in the middle of the violence, we tend to forget it.
It is argued by some that the Arab Spring is a threat to Israel because governments that Israel had a relationship with, like the Egyptian government, mm-hmm. are going to change.
I think that it depends...
Is the Arab Spring bad or good for Israel?
It depends on us. Even when I was the director of the Shin Bet, and I was asked, tell us what will happen. I asked my cabinet ministers, tell me what we Israelis will do, and I'll try to give you a good analysis. So it depends on us. I'm optimistic not because I'm naive, not because I think that something will happen and I will get some money from the lottery. I am optimistic only because I believe that it depends on us. So I think that we have the power to shape our destiny. And if we shall take the right course, yes, there are risks. Yes, it will be very unstable, but there are opportunities, and this is why it is very important for us to detect it and to accept that it is in our hands.
How long is the window of opportunity?
Look, every time we are saying, okay, the window of opportunity for direct talks is over. It is for us to open a new window and to shape a new paradigm. And if we shall be able to shape a new paradigm, to create a new paradigm, then we shall have a new window of opportunity.
I welcome you here. Thank you very much for coming. It's a pleasure
Thank
to
you
meet
very much.
You. A pleasure to have you at this table. And I hope we can continue the conversation as we watch events unfold in the region. Back in a moment.